Amen. This is my Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what he says I am. I can do what he says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles with me, please, to 1 John chapter 5. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Amen. I need to lead the singing to the praise team. No, Elder Bon John. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And I want you to look at verse number 1. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 1. Are you all there yet? The Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. I want you to go over to verse number 4. And the Bible says that for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Look at verse 5, it says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? This is part two of a message I started last week called Walking in Your Victory. And we found out last week that although we face many trials and tribulations in life, although those trials and tribulations come in many shapes, forms, and sizes, regardless of how big they are, there is no need for us to allow panic to set in or to overcome us. Regardless of how big, how wide, how tall those trials and tribulations that we face in life are, there is no reason why we should allow panic to overtake us. And the reason for that is because, as children of God, I've said this many, many times before, Jesus' victory is your victory. Jesus' victory is your victory because Jesus won the victory for us through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Are you all still with me? Amen. And if someone is not a child of God, you can be one today. Are you all still with me? Amen. So, because see, as Christians, we get credit for everything that Jesus Christ did for us. We get credit for everything that Jesus did. And all we have to do now is that when trouble comes, when we face trials and tribulations in life, all we have to do is to walk in our victory or live in our victory. Are y'all still with me? You know, well, Pastor, how do I walk in my victory? Well, the first thing we need to do is we need to acknowledge the fact that Jesus' victory is your victory. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter whether you can quote the Bibles from Genesis to Revelation or not. If you are a child of God, you must accept or believe that Jesus' victory is your victory. And then when you believe that, all you need to do is to walk in your victory by putting your faith into operation. You have to walk in your victory by putting your faith into operation. In other words, grandma's faith don't work for you. Grandma can pray for you, but you can't use her faith. Grandpa's faith don't work for you. You can pray, they can pray for you, but it doesn't work for you. Auntie Am's faith don't work for you. You have to put your own faith in operation if you want to walk in victory. Are you all still with me? Well, Pastor, why do you say that? Well, the reason why I say that is because of what 1 John says. Let's look at it again. 1 John chapter 5. It says it right here. Amen. It says in verse 1, whosoever believeth. How many know whosoever means whosoever? It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, And then the Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the what? The world. I mentioned to you last week that the trials and the tribulations that we face in life are of the world. So we can read that. I don't think we would be out of the will of God if we say, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the trials and the tribulations. Because the trials and the tribulations are a part of the world, and whatever is in the world, okay? Whatever's in the world, the Bible says that if we are born of God, we overcome it. Because if you overcome the world, you're going to also overcome whatever's in the world. Are you all still with me this morning? And then the Bible says, and this is the victory, okay, that overcometh the world, even our faith. Once again, your own faith. You all still with me? See, we are very closely related to Jesus. We have to know that, okay? Because if we do not know that, the trials and the tribulations that we face in life will try to overtake us or overcome us. But if we know that we have a close relationship with Jesus, we will know that because we accepted him as Lord and Savior, his victory is our victory. I mean, we're closely related. If you look at verse number 6, look what verse number 6 says. It says, this is he, talking about Jesus, that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And look at the next sentence there. It says, and it is the Spirit that beareth what? Because the Spirit is what? So the Bible says the Spirit beareth witness of who Jesus is. Don't you know the Bible also tells us in Romans 8:16 that the Spirit bears witness with us that we are the children of God? I mean, the same Spirit that bears witness of Jesus is the same Spirit that bears witness of us being children of God. Well, Pastor, what did that tell me? What that tells me is that as a child of God, I am very closely connected to Jesus. And his victory is our victory. See, Christians, we know that the Bible tells us to live by faith, right? The Bible says to live by faith. And we know that not only should we have faith to overcome every situation in life, because we need that, but not only should we have faith to overcome every situation in our life, but we need to also have faith. And this is more important than just having faith over every situation in your life. We must also have faith that Jesus Christ has already defeated all of the trials and the tribulations that we face in life right now, and he defeated your and my trials and tribulations on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. In other words, that situation that you might be going through, Jesus already defeated it before you were born. But by you accepting him, you also get credit for defeating it. That tribulation that you're facing right now, Jesus already defeated it. So listen, if Jesus has already defeated it, and his victory is your victory, then why are we letting it get us down? See, that's what we need to have faith in. More importantly, the fact that Jesus already took care of my situations even before I was born. And by me accepting him as Lord and Savior, I get credit for what Jesus has already done. Are y'all still with me? And look, if I really believe that, because it sounds good in the church, but if I really believe that, I would not worry all the time. I would not stay up half the night worrying about things. I would not have an attitude when people say something to me and I'm upset and worried about stuff. Leave me alone. And I would not let my trials and tribulations get the best of me, because I will know without a shadow of a doubt that although I am going through trials and tribulations, because of what Jesus did for me, I have already defeated the trials and tribulations that I'm going through. I mean, isn't that amazing? You're going through a situation and you've already defeated the situation that you're going through. But I have to believe it. Because if I do not believe it, then I'm going to be walking around singing songs like nobody knows the trouble I see. I have to know without a shadow of a doubt that this situation that's getting the best of me, I already have the victory over it. Yes, Christians, as long as you're in this world, yeah, you're going to feel it. Because listen to this. Your situation is not faith. It's real. And you're going to feel it. It's going to seem like it's weighing you down. But we have to know that as long as we continue to move forward and not give up, as long as we continue to move forward, we will reach the outcome of the situation we're going through, and that outcomes equals victory. And the reason why that outcomes equals victory is because Jesus has already taken care of your situation a long time ago, and my situation. Are y'all still with me this morning? And by Jesus taking care of those situations, and he got the victory over them, that gives me victory also. But it takes faith, my faith, for me to receive the victory in the natural that has already been given to me in the spiritual. I told you a long time ago, there's the spiritual world and there's the natural world. And everything's in the spirit world, Jesus has already taken care of it as well as in the natural. But our faith is what brings it from the spiritual to the natural. Are y'all still with me this morning? It doesn't matter how big that situation is. You know, we sung the song this morning, let all the other names fade away. It's not just a song, it's a testimony. Are y'all still with me? Amen. See, the trials and the tribulations, they do exist. They exist, you know. I mentioned the scripture to you last week, 2 Corinthians 4:18. The Bible says, don't look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. But the things, they exist. Your trial is there. Your tribulation is there. But the Bible tells us, don't focus on that. You focus on the victory. As a matter of fact, let's go to the scripture. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to see what I'm talking about here. Your faith in the belief that Jesus has already given you the victory is what's going to get you through. I have to believe that Jesus has already done it for me. Y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Are you there yet? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Bible says here in verse number 17, we start there. It says, for our light affliction. Why the Bible call it a light affliction? God just don't know what I'm going through. Yes, you do. Look, it may be weighing you down, but it's a light affliction to him. But how many of you know if you put your faith into operation like we're supposed to, instead of just saying, we walk by faith, not by sight, put your faith in operation, it'll be a light affliction for you. And the reason why it would be a light affliction for you is because you would know that it's just temporary. Are you all still with me? It says, for our light affliction, which is but for what? Pastor Wall. You mean to tell me I've been dealing with this situation for 4 months? And you say it's a moment? For God, it's a moment. For your faith, it should be a moment. And the reason why it should be a moment for your faith is because we should know without a shadow of a doubt, as long as we continue to stay in the race on course, we're going to overcome it. Yes, Satan's going to turn up the heat. He's going to add some more weights to the machine. Some people like that. Wait the machine, amen. But it's still a moment. Why? Because I already had a victory. Have you ever been doing something in life and, you know, you're doing something, you're enjoying it, and next thing you know, you look at the clock, it's like, man, 5 hours going by that quick. 5 hours didn't go by that quick. 5 hours go by the same time all the time. Are y'all still with me this morning? But because you were involved in something that you liked, man, time went by. Well, it's the same, should be the same thing, you know, the same mindset when you're going through trials and tribulations. If you focus on them, it's going to seem like they've been there forever. But if you focus on the fact that you already had a victory, and although you might be going through it now, you've already won, it won't even seem like it's much because you focus on the victory. Are you all still with me? Remember, I told you last week, sometimes when people watch football games and sports and stuff, and the game was played 2 weeks ago, and it wasn't like, catch the ball. Man, catch the ball. Well, he missed it 2 weeks ago. That's Pastor Janet when she watched the Pittsburgh Steelers reruns. Y'all still with me? Like, baby, he missed the field goal last week. They gonna make it today. But look what the Bible says. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Don't you know? Man, I tell you what. The word of God just talks to you when you study it. Listen. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, do what? Don't you know that your trial and tribulation is working for you? Your trial and tribulation is working for you. Well, Pastor, how is it working for me? It's working for you to let you know that if it's getting the best of you, you need to get some more faith. It's letting you know you need some more faith. How does faith come? By hearing. How does hearing come? By the word. That means I need to go somewhere where the word is being taught so I can receive more faith. Chris, listen to this. This came to me yesterday when I was studying. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. This came to me. See, the spirit of man knows what it needs. Even people who are not unsaved, the spirit knows what it needs. And sometimes people do things and they don't even realize why they're doing it. Let me get to tell you what I'm talking about. See, a lot of times, when people are going through troubles, you know, people who don't serve God, you know, people who don't serve God or whatever, and they're going through things, what do? They're looking for something. So what do? They come to the church. Why? Because that's where faith is. Because faith, Paul said, this is the word of faith that we preach. So the Spirit needs faith to be able to deal with the situation. And all the ways that the Spirit can receive faith is through the Word. So people don't even realize it. That's why the Spirit knows what man needs, even when man and woman don't know what they need. It's looking for faith. Because the more faith that we have, the less that situation would bring us down. Well, I'll share that with you. That's divine revelation. You won't find that written in no book nowhere. Y'all still with me? But look again at what he says here. He says, for our light affliction, which is not but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding. In other words, your outcome is going to be much more, much, much better than what that trial and tribulation put you through. And then verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are what? Seen. But the things that which are what? Not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal or worldly or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, Minister Denise told us several weeks ago on a Wednesday night Bible study that we look at things that are not seen through the eyes of faith. You know, but what I want to say here, listen, the Bible did not say that the things don't exist. It said we just don't focus on them. And Christians, let me just make sure everybody understand this. Just because you're going through trials and tribulations, that don't mean your faith is weak. Contrary to unpopular belief, people say, well, you're going through. I mean, you must have a weak faith. No, the reason why you're going through trials and tribulations is because you live in this world. Doesn't care how much faith you have. If you live in this world, you will go through some trials and tribulations. Because the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world and the spiritual wickedness in high places is trying to tear you down. It's trying to tear you apart. I've told you many times we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. And Satan does not want you to be happy. See? Because he knows that you believe the song this morning when their son says, you make me happy. He don't want you to be happy. So they try to tear you down. But, you know, we don't focus on the things. We focus on the victory that Jesus Christ has already given to us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Although we're going through the trials and tribulations, we have to know that we have already overcome them. Why? Because Jesus' victory is our victory, if you believe. Are y'all still with me? So I must continue to move forward towards the outcome. Because as I move forward towards the outcome or towards victory, don't you know the Holy Spirit is leading you to the victory? He's leading you. You know, the Bible tells us he goes before us. But what happens is that, I mentioned this last week, many people give up in the middle of the storm. I mean, you in pitch darkness, that's not the time to give up. You know, when you face a trial and tribulation, you know, you have to think about it before you face the trial and tribulation. You have to think about it that you're in the light. The trial and the tribulation is the dark part. So if I'm in the light and all of a sudden I'm going along and then I face the trial and tribulation, as I'm walking through the trial and tribulations, it's going to get darker. Well, if I stop in the middle of the storm, I'll never see any light. But if I keep on going forward, not backwards, forward, eventually the darkness is going to start changing to light. And I'm going to end up overcoming the trial and tribulation. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will lead me through the storm towards the victory that Jesus Christ gave to me over 2,000 years ago. I don't know about you all, but that makes me excited. You know that when I go through situations in life, because, yeah, pastors go through also. But, yeah, pastor, he shouldn't be going. Yeah, yes, I do. Because I live in this world just like you do. But I know that as long as I keep on listening to the word of God, as long as I keep on following the word, as long as I do not try to lead the Holy Spirit, but allow him to lead me, I will come through. Why? Because the victory is already won. Amen? See, I told you there's two things that you have to have. You must have when you're facing trials and tribulations, because you're going to face them. Some of you might be in one right now. Some of you might was in one last week. Some of you might see one on the horizon, the forecast. But there's two things that you cannot do without. You can't. Number one, you cannot do without your faith. Number two, you cannot do without patience. Because faith and patience always hang out together. Did you all know that? For a person who have no faith, they also have no patience. Well, I got faith. I just don't know how I'm going to get through this situation. Guess what? You have no patience over that situation. So if you don't have patience over that situation, you also don't have any faith over that situation. See, I can't say I have faith and don't have any patience. Can't have one without the other. See? Because don't you know that the Bible says that when your faith is being tried, your patience goes to work? I mean, you know, when we do not just read the scriptures, but just study the scriptures to see what it says, I mean, it's like we'd be like, what? Don't you know that the Bible tells us to count it all joy when we're going through temptations? But what is it that I am supposed to count joy? Because I don't know about you, but I've never been in a trial and tribulation that was joyful. Maybe you have, but I have not. See, the Bible tells us to count it all joy, though. Why is that? Well, let's go to James chapter 1. Let's take a look at that verse, because I want to find out, why should I count temptations joy? Because people go through situations and say, well, I'm going through, but I'm going to count it all joy. What, the question is, what are you counting joy? What are we counting joy? What are we counting joy? James, Peter, John. I would say, count it all joy. This thing getting the best of me, but I'm going to count it joy. What is the it that we're counting joy? See, we need to know. Are you in James 1? The Bible says that James, a servant of God, verse 1, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, talking to the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad. He says, greeting, my brethren. When he says my brethren, that tells you he's talking to Christians. And although we were not there during that time, if you are a child of God, he's talking to you too. He says, greetings, my brethren and sisters. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, which are trials and tests, tribulations. He said, count it all joy when you fall. How many of you know sometimes we need to pay attention to the little words? Notice what he did not say. Notice he did not say, count it all joy if you fall. He said, when you fall. Because if you're in this world, if you live in this world, you will fall into some diverse trials, tests, tribulations, temptations. That's what they are. He said, count it all joy knowing this. Count it all joy knowing this. Now look, whatever the this is, the this is what I count joy. Not the temptation, but the this. He says, count it all joy knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. He said, count it all joy knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, this verse tells me several things. Number one, it tells me that when I'm going through trials and tribulations, my faith is being tried. Okay? Well, I told you earlier, that's why when it starts working for you, because if it's getting the best of you, then you know you need more faith. Because Jesus has already given you the victory. He says, count it all joy, knowing that your trying of your faith worketh patience. Listen to this. I told you earlier that no faith, no patience. Weak faith, weak patience. That's why a lot of people get beat up when they go through situations, because either they have, well, if you're a Christian, you have some faith because God gave you a measure. But they have weak faith, and because of weak faith, they have weak patience. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. This thing ain't getting the best of me. Weak faith, weak patience. It says, count it all joy, knowing then that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Don't you know when your faith get tried, patience goes to work. Patience goes to work. I mean, when faith is being tried, patience say, oh, it's time to go to work. I mean, think about that. Your faith is being tried, and the patient is going to work. Well, what is the patient doing working? Well, the patient is trying to get you to see that you already had a victory. And he's trying to lead you towards your victory by way of the Holy Spirit. See?
Faith, patience works.
And see, Christians, the problem with many people is that they let patience off work too early. They're like people do when they go to work. They should be working 8 hours a day. They work 3 hours. I'm going home for the rest of the day. Listen, you can't let patience off work. Because that's what patience does. It works. Our patience, you know, you've been around for 2 days, and I just don't think God can do it, so patience, you can go ahead and go home. No! Christian, no! Don't you know that you and I, we do not have the authority to let patience go home early? Have you ever thought about that? We don't have the authority. Patience, you know, you've been working hard today. No. Why? Because work is what patients do. God is good. That person have a perfect, you know. The trying of your faith, patience, say, oh, what? Okay, I'll be there. He goes away. Patience, don't worry about it. You can take off. No. See, you don't have the authority to do that. Well, Pastor, how can you say that? Because that's my patience. No, it's not your patience. It's God's patience. And he tells you to have it. Don't you know that faith that you have, God gave it to you. And he wants you to use it, to build on it. That's why he gave us a measure so we can build on it. Because God knows that faith works. But if I don't have patience, I don't have faith. So where my faith is being tried, patience goes to work. Are y'all still with me? And I can't let it off because it's not my call. Well, Pastor, how can you say that? Well, look at verse 4 says. Verse 4 says, but do what? Let patience have her perfect what? Work. Notice what the Bible did not say. Notice it did not say let you have your perfect work. It said let patience have her perfect work. Why they call patience a her and not a him? Well, because him think he know everything. And her is going to try to follow the word of God to the best of her ability. I mean, if you look at every church in the world, you'll see more women than men. So why should patience be a him? Are y'all still with me? The Bible says, but let patience have her perfect work. And when you do, it says that you may be perfect or mature and entire, what, complete, wanting nothing. So if I let patience have her perfect work, then I will focus on the outcome. I will focus on the fact that I have the victory because patience will help me get to it. And once I overcome it, I don't need anything else because I've already overcome this situation. So I have to let patience do what God sent patience to do. God sent patience to work. So I can afford to patience. You know, you've been working 2 hours. You can take off now. No, it's not my call. Because when I let patience go, faith is going right along with it. And Satan's going to turn up the heat. Are y'all still with me? Patience and faith leads us to our outcome, and the outcome is victory. Why? Because Jesus Christ has already given it to us. That's why the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we looked at it last week, we're not going to go there today. The Bible says, but thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory. Listen, all I did was accept that Jesus is Lord and Savior. That's all you did too. We didn't do anything. Like the song said, I don't deserve it. But just by us accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we get credit for what Jesus did. I'm going to show you another scripture a little later on here to qualify what I just said. We need to understand the fact that we're closely related to Jesus because of what he did for us, and we accepted him. And by us accepting him, his victory is our victory. And as long as we continue to operate in faith and patience, the word of God says that we will overcome the situation. Well, Pastor, how does God know that I'm going to be an overcomer? How does he know that? Well, God knows everything. I mean, how do he know that he knows everything. How do we know if I continue to operate in faith? God knows everything. Because God knows how reliable faith is. His faith, not the world's kind, but his kind. And he knows that if we live by it, regardless of what obstacle Satan put in front of us, he knows that if we live by it, we win every time. Why? Because the victory has already been won. But if I try to do it on my own, no, we don't win that way. Because see, our victory is not Jesus' victory. His victory is our victory. Are y'all still with me? When you're going through trials and tribulations, God know it. He know what you're going through. He know what the kind of trial it is. He know what kind of tribulation it is. He knows everything. He's all knowing. And he knows that as long as you continue to move forward, you will overcome it. He knows that. There's a verse in the Bible that God knows the end before the beginning. I mean, that's amazing. He knows how things are going to turn out before we see them turn out. He already knows. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you are good or bad, so be good for goodness sake. He knows everything. He knows that all you have to do, all I have to do is just continue to move forward. And look, in the midst of your trials and tribulations, I'm not talking about before they happen and after they happen. I'm talking about in the midst of your trials and tribulations. You still move forward. You still live the same way you lived before you got into the trial and tribulation. Christians, yes, it weighs heavy on us sometimes. But we have to know that the victory has already won. Already won. Because God knows the beginning. Or the end before the beginning. How does God know the end before the beginning? I mean, I don't even know the end before the beginning. You know, when I was young, I told you all this about 8 years ago. I used to do some stupid things in relation to God. I used to be at home. I was little. I said, they say God knows everything. I said, I wonder if he knows what I'm getting ready to do right now. I was young. I was about 13, 14. You know, people say God knows everything. I said, I'm going to turn around about 3 times. I wonder if he knows I'm going to do that. That I turn around 3 times. I told you I used to do some stupid things. God, you know I was going to do that. I'm going to run over there and run right back. Trying to do something that God don't know I'm going to do. How dumb was that? Y'all thought I'm doing some of that things too. I wonder if God know I'm going to get on my tiptoes. I used to do stuff like that. How can God know that? He knows everything. He knows what we're going to do because he created us. He knows that when the next trial and tribulation comes, he knows who's going to overcome it. He knows he's going to operate in doubt instead of faith. He knows everything. Because he's God. And there's a reason why God knows the ending before the beginning. Well, Pastor, what's the reason? Well, I'm going to let you read it for yourself. Go to Isaiah chapter 46. There's a reason why. There's a reason why. There's a reason why. Christian, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what you're facing, what you might be facing, what things look like, you have the victory. It doesn't seem like it. You're right, it doesn't seem like it because it's a faith thing. You have the victory. You will overcome. You will overcome. Because if you're a child of God, you have already overcome spiritually. But your faith brings it to the natural for you. I told you earlier, you can't use grandma's faith. You can't use your uncle's faith. You know, my brother here, pastor. You can't use his faith. My fifth cousin, you know, they used to pastor church. You can't use their faith either. The Bible says that the just shall live by his faith or her faith. Are y'all still with me? Isaiah 46. God knows everything. God's talking to the children of Israel here through Isaiah the prophet. Look at verse number 9. We will start there, 46:9. So everything you need is in the word. That's why you have to continue to come to hear it. Or go somewhere to hear it. Because the answer to whatever situation you're facing is in the word. Doesn't matter what it is. Children problem, family problems, parent problems, job problems, school problems. The answer is found in the word. You will overcome. Because you are an overcomer. Look at verse 9. The Bible says God's talking to the children of Israel through Isaiah. It says, remember the former things of old. There's another verse in, I think it's chapter 43, where it says, do not remember things of old. This verse is saying, remember the things of old. People say, well, that's contradictory. No, it's not, because what he's telling them here is that, remember the things I have done for you in the past. Has God doing anything like Nate said here when she stand up here and she stand up here and do praise and worship? Have God did anything for anybody? Everybody should raise their hand. Because he woke you up this morning. God said, remember things I have done for you in the past. Verse 9. And the reason why I did them is for I am God. And there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Do you all see that? Now, that's God talking. Through the prophet Isaiah, he said, I'm God. He said, there's nobody like me. Let me ask you a question. Be careful how you answer it. We have God. Who is God's opposite? Nobody. Some people say Satan. No. Satan is not our opposite of God. Satan is a spirit that has been defeated. No one compares to God in any way, form, or fashion. God said, I am God, and there is none like me. Your answer is right there. There's none like me. Look at verse 10. He says, declaring the what? In from the what? Beginning. Declaring the what? In from the beginning. In other words, God knows how it's going to end before it even begins. When God said, let there be light, he knew light was going to show up. Before he said it. Why? Because he is God and there is none like him. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are what? Not yet done. You might not have gotten through that trial and tribulation yet, but you will. If you put your faith in operation. Why? Because the victory has already been won. The Bible says, not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country. Yeah. And then this is why God knows the end from the beginning. He says, I have spoken it. There is nothing or no one that can reverse something that God has spoken. When God says it, it's going to happen. Unless he decides he don't want it to happen. When God speaks, it happens. When God speaks, Satan says, when God says jump, Satan says, how high? We know another verse that says, my words shall not do what? Return void. So when God speaks it, it's going to happen. He says, I have spoken it, and I will also bring it to pass. Do y'all see that? He said, I have purposed it, I will also, good God Almighty. And how many of you know that God has already done for mankind what mankind needed? Mankind needed a savior, someone who could redeem them from being a controlled by the sin nature, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus has already given us the victory over the sin nature. Listen to this. Jesus has already given us the victory over the principalities. Jesus has already given us the victories over the powers. Jesus has already given us the victory over the rulers of the darkness of this world. And Jesus has already given us the victory over the spiritual wickedness in high places. Did you all know that? See, people read that verse, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against principalities, against rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness. And they get scared. Listen, that verse is not in the Bible to tell you so you can get scared. That verse is in the Bible to tell you what you're up against. In other words, it's in the Bible to tell you that you are engaged in a spiritual warfare. But it also, the Bible also tells us that the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. All you have to do is the Bible says fight the good fight of faith. All you have to do is put your faith in operation and believe that Jesus did what he did, what the word says he did. He has already won the victory for you. So you don't need to get scared. Oh, the principality, who the powers, oh, the run. No. Jesus has already defeated them. And guess what? If Jesus have defeated them, you have defeated them. Why? Because his victory is your victory. Oh, Pastor, I don't believe that. You know, you just saying that make us feel good today. And then when I go back home, I know Satan's going to hit me on the head with that big old frying pan. Hit him back with the word. Hit him back with the word. People don't want to speak the word against Satan. Jesus spoke the word. He said, it's written. Thou shalt not do what? Satan, the Bible says Satan doesn't have to go away. He can't stand up against the word. Because God knows the ending before the beginning. Satan knows his final destination. What's his final destination? The lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20. Or 20. He knows. And how many of you know he's trying to take as many people down with him in that lake of fire as he can? That's why we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Are y'all still with me? You know, we looked at a scripture last week because I told you last week that we are never supposed to lose in this world. That's why the Bible says that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Not faith. I got faith that I'm going to get a new car. No, no, no. That's the kind of faith. Faith in the fact that Jesus Christ has already won our victory. He's already defeated our trials and tribulations over 2,000 years ago through his death, burial, and resurrection. I have to have faith in that. Because if I have faith that they've already been defeated, when I go through them, they will not weigh me down. I would know that I'm just going through them because I live in this world. And the outcome has already been decided. Because Jesus decided the outcome before you and I were even born, before you and I even accepted him as Lord and Savior. He has already decided the outcome. And that outcome equals victory. I know I've said it a lot of times. Victory. And look, listen. A lot of people know that. But they don't realize it. They know they have the victory. Well, Pastor, why do you say that? I'm going to tell you why. If you have ever sung the song, victory is mine, victory is the day is mine. Anybody ever sung that song before? Well, if you don't know you have the victory, why are you singing that song? Why are you singing it? People just sing a song because it's on the screen. I told Satan, yeah, victory today is mine. Joy is mine. Although they say it, joy is mine. Because Jesus Christ has already given us the victory. People say things they don't even realize it. But the Spirit knows. The Spirit knows. But the problem is, like I was talking about on Wednesday night, we let our mind get in the way. Are y'all still with me? But we're never supposed to lose. We looked at a scripture last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're not going there for the sake of time. And Paul was talking to the Christians at Corinth. And he was telling them that they had been going through some troubled times. But he said, but God comforted us in trials and tribulations. I mean, when you're going through your trials and tribulations, we're supposed to be comfortable. Not with the trials and the tribulations, but comfortable knowing that there's a victory on the other side of it. And when we go through our trials and tribulations, God is trying to get the comfort to us. I already told you that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's trying to get the comforter to us because he's already in us, if you're a Christian, to lead us and guide us through it. But we don't focus on the Holy Spirit. We're focusing on the situation. That's why it's an uncomfortable feeling. But Paul said he comforted us in our trials and tribulations. And then he said they were to the point of death when they was going through these troubles. He told the Christians at Corinth, he said, listen, I'm not going to have you not knowing what we've been going through. We're going through spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And look, we was in a bad situation. He said, but we didn't try to deliver ourselves. You can read it when you get home, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. He said, God, the same one who raised Jesus from the dead, delivered us. In other words, yes, we go through, but we're not supposed to lose because we are winners. The Bible said we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. See, that's the key right there, Christians. The key is through Christ Jesus. I can't do it on my own. It has to be through Christ Jesus because I can't win on my own. That's why I need Jesus. A lot of times people say, well, I'm just trying to get through this. I'm trying, it's hard. The question is, have you tried him? Did you ask Jesus to help you? See, the mind thinks they can figure it out. Mind can't figure out spiritual things. That's why the Bible tells us to be led by the Spirit. If the mind could figure out spiritual things, then God wouldn't tell us to be led by the Spirit. He would tell us to be led by the mind. Are you all still with me? But we are supposed to always win in every situation in life. And the reason why we are supposed to always win is because in Christ Jesus, we've already won. Are y'all still with me this morning? I mean, if you start thinking about what Jesus did for us, I mean, it makes you make me happy. Randy sung that song to us this morning. And everybody, everything about you is right. It covers all my wrong. That's true. My life is your life. To you is where what? I mean, it's not just a song. But you'll mean it when you say it. Why? Because we are supposed to win. I do want you to go over to 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. I have 6 minutes and 39 seconds. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2. Chris, I'm telling you, let me share this with you as well. You know, I know we've gone through some tough times over the last couple of years. This pandemic came. Other things been going on with people. And, Christians, look, in many cases, and my wife and I, we were just talking about this the other day, but in many cases, you know, as Christians, you know, we've been kind of just going through the motions. We need to rejuvenate ourselves. We need to get back excited about Jesus. We need to get back excited about what God has done for us. It's time for us to get some energy. We've lost a lot of energy, even in the church, even in this ministry. Starting with the head. I talk about myself. It's time for us to pick up the pieces. It's time for us to start running again. Yes, we've been going through some trials, tribulations, tough things in life, but listen, it's time for us to pick up and move forward and get some energy, energize. They're like that ever-ready battery on that bunny. Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. It's time for us to wake up and stop using the pandemic as an excuse to just go through the motions, because Jesus is still sitting on the throne. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. Are y'all ready to pick up the pieces with me, Pastor Ron? Start that running again. Rejuvenate. Start moving forward. Amen. Where did I tell you to go? Second Corinthians chapter 2. I'm almost done. Amen. Man, amen. I can't even find it. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We are never supposed to lose. Look at verse number, what verse? 12? Is that where we're going to start? Amen. Well, that's not quite right. Amen, amen, amen. But you're close. I want you to look at verse number 9. Okay, no, that's not where I want you to be either. Amen. 14? Amen. Yeah, that's not right either. Let me look at 1 Corinthians. I might have written down the wrong scripture. Let me go to 1 Corinthians. What's that? We're moving forward. Amen. I don't see it there either. Amen. Let me go to 2 Corinthians. Anyway, what I wanted you to see, and I might have written down the wrong scripture, but I wanted you to see the verse where the Bible says, somebody pull up when I say it. I know Minister Denise, she'll pull up because she's a Bible whiz. Amen. That God always causes us to triumph. Verse 14, amen. Well, these are not my regular glasses. Amen. 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 Yeah, chapter 2, verse 9. I was looking at chapter 1, verse 9. Okay, chapter 2, verse 9. Look what the Bible says. Thank you all so much for helping out Pastor Ron. Amen. Paul says, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. He says, down in verse number 12. He said, furthermore, when I came to Troas, talking to the Corinthians, to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me of the Lord. He says in verse 13, I had no rest in my spirit. That tells me he was going through some things. Because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. But although he said he was going through some situations, although he said he was low in the spirit, although he said he didn't have any rest in the spirit, he said, now thanks be unto who? God. Which what? Always causes us to do what? Triumph in Christ and make it manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in what? Every place. In other words, he said, I was in a trial, tribulation situation. I was going through, but thanks be to God. How many of you can thank God when you're going through something? Instead of just saying, Father, why I got to go through this? No, you thank God in that tribulation, in that trial. Lord, I thank you because I know that I already had a victory, and although I might not get through it on Monday, Tuesday's coming. And I'm not talking about the day, because as long as you stay in faith, you will always be able to overcome. I'm going to show you one more scripture, and I'm going to be done. I want you to go with me, please, to Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. I'm almost done. I got a minute and 3 seconds. Let me just say it this way. The clock has a minute and 3 seconds on it. I'm sorry, I go to Colossians. I'm not going to make it to Hebrews. They go to Colossians chapter 2. Amen. Some of y'all caught that. The clock has a minute on it. Amen. But I'm almost done. But I want to show you, because I told you earlier how connected to Jesus you are. I told you that Jesus' victory is your victory. I told you that the same Holy Spirit that witnessed that Jesus is a child of God is the same Holy Spirit that witnessed that we are a child of God. So we are related and very, very closely related to Jesus. That's why his victory is our victory. And I want to prove it to you even more, and then I'm going to be done. Are you at Colossians chapter 2? Look at the Bible says here. Paul is talking to the Christians at Colossae. I'm almost done. He says in verse 6, he says, as you have therefore received Christ. Okay, he's talking to you. As you have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so do what? Walk in him or live in him. Live like Jesus lived. And then he starts explaining what Jesus did for us, and he's talking about you. He says, rooted and built up in him and stabilized in the what? Faith. As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then he says in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. In other words, don't let nobody try to tell you who you're not. Don't let nobody try to tell you that you don't have the victory. He said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It says, for in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do y'all see that? And verse 10 says, and you, if you are a Christian, you are what? Complete in who? Him, which is the what? Head of what? All what? And what? And the rulers of the darkness of this place and the spiritual wickedness in high places. Stay with me. Amen, amen, amen. I'm almost done. You have to see that. And then it says in verse 12, how you relate to Jesus. Look what verse 12 says. Buried with him in what? Wherein also you are what? Notice the Bible didn't say you're going to be risen. It said you are risen. In other words, once you were dead to sins, but once you accept that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the Bible said you were born again. In other words, you were raised in newness of life. Are you all still with me? Amen. And look what the Bible says here. Go all the way down to verse 14, talking about what Jesus did. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Let me tell you what that means. In the NIV, it said, canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. He canceled it. You've been in debt $1 million. They said, well, don't worry about it. You don't have to pay it. How good did that make you feel? In other words, because of Adam and Eve's sin, I'm closing, stay with me. Because of Adam and Eve's sin, how many of you know that we owed a legal penalty? But Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, and by taking his blood to God, he paid your penalty. And now you are free. And the Bible says, who the Son says free is free indeed. Amen? I'm almost done. Stay with me. Amen. It said, he paid your penalty by nailing it to the cross. Verse 15 is what I want you to concentrate on. And having spoiled what? Principalities. And what? Powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He did what to them? Triumphing over them. Over what? The principalities, the powers, the rulers of the dark, the guys who come and try to cause trials and tribulations in your life. He triumphed over them. But wait a minute. Because if Jesus triumphed over them, and his victory is your victory and my victory, that means we have triumphed over them also. Somebody stand to your feet and give God a hand praise because he's worthy. I'm here to tell you that it does not matter what you're facing in life. Doesn't matter what you're going through in life. Doesn't matter what trial and tribulation you face in life. You already have the victory over that situation. Why? Through Christ Jesus. And his victory is your victory. Pastor, it doesn't seem like it. That's because you're not walking by faith. It doesn't look like it. That's because you're not putting patience to work. You're letting patience off too early. Let patience go to work. You know, in John chapter 16, I believe, Jesus says something to us that's very important. He says, in this world, you would have trials and tribulations. He said, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that count it all joy when you're going through trials and tribulations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Because if Jesus said, be of good cheer, he has overcome the world, that means that if Jesus' victory is our victory, we have also overcome the world. Well, Pastor, how have we overcome the world? 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Doesn't matter what you're going through. You are a winner. May not seem like it, but just trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. From this day forward, whatever you're going through, just know he's working it out for your good. You just got to trust in him. Pastor, it doesn't seem like it. Faith is not seeming. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Just trust him. You already won. The Bible says that in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. The only time the Bible tells us to fight is to fight the good fight of faith, because when you fight the good fight of faith, the Bible calls it good because you will always win. Why? Because Jesus has already won. Amen? Here we are closing the place.